Northampton Kollel, Shir on Tehillim, given by Gershon Heppner on Sunday, 17th of July 2011, Tesvav Tammuz Tovshin Ein Aleph, and we're on Tehillim chapter Yudches, Pasuk Hei. Afafini Chevle Moves, the pains of death surround me. Afafini Chevle Moves, the pains of death surround me. V'nachalei v'liya'al, and the rivers or torrents, the article translates it as torrents of evil. V'liya'al is a word for evil. Yiva'asuni, terrify me. Afafini chevle moves, pains of death surround me. V'nachalei v'liya'al, the Yiva'asuni, and the torrents of evil, Yiva'asuni, scare me or terrify me. Okay, so here David is simply talking about his troubles from his enemies, and similarly to what we've learned so far, how he says that he's suffered all these years with enemies and with wars, and how Goshroth has rescued him all the time. So here he's saying he's surrounded by problems with pains of death and enemies all the time, and yet HaKadosh Baruch Hu saves him from every situation. Rashi defines this word afafuni, it's a very hard word, afafuni, as to surround. Sivavuni, they surrounded me. And chevle moves, Rashi explains the word chevle, well, I translated it as pains, like chevle moshiach. Oh, so come on to that. Yeah. Chevle is a rope. In this context, it doesn't mean a rope. So, in this context, I translated it as pains, like chevle leidah, pains of pangs, birth pangs, or chevle moshiach, we say the pains of moshiach, the difficulties. Oh, that's the word rope. We'll come on to that. We'll come on to that. So here, chevle moves, but here Rashi gives a completely different translation. Rashi says, chevel means a group of people. And he defines it from a pasuk in Shmuel Aleph. It's in Shmuel Aleph, chapter Yud, pasuk Hei, where Shmuel Hanovi has just anointed. Shmuel Hanovi has just anointed Shaul. And he gives him a rundown of what's going to happen, of what he should expect now that he's been anointed as the new king. So it's a pasuk in Shmuel Aleph Ten, it's chapter Yud pasuk Hey, where Shmuel says to Shaul, "Ach haken tovu givas halekim, you'll come to the small hill halekim of God, asher shom nitziyei plishtim, where the officers of the plishtim are." Vihi, and it will be chavach Hashem ha'ir when you get there to the town. Ufogato, and here's the key word, ufogato, you'll meet chevel neviim, a group of neviim. Yodim Abama, they're just coming down from the high place, having just offered up a korban, etc., etc. So the word chevel, Rashi defines it based on the pasuk in Shmuel, it means a group of people. So here our pasuk says afafuni chevle moves. Rashi explains it means that bands of people, groups of terrorists, basically, or groups of enemies, will surround me, and they're after my life. They're out to kill me. So they're called chevle moves. The bands of people, or the groups of people, the chevle moves are out to. They're after my life. Afafuni chevle moves. That's how Rashi defines it. The Targum goes to the pshat of pain. It means pains of death. The Targum is really fascinating. Let me read this Targum to you. Akfasni oko, difficulties surround me. Cheiton, he defines it, particular type of pain. Cheiton, like a woman, the yosva al maspara, who is sitting on the birthing stool. Yeah? And she's got birth pangs. She's in labor. V'cheil leisla lemeilad. But she doesn't have the strength to give birth. So she ought to be giving birth, but she just hasn't got the kach to push out the child. V'him sakna lemeimos, and her life is in danger. V'siyas tolomaya, and groups of evil people, ba'asas yasi, scare me. So the Targum really extends this. He takes this word chevle moves as being equivalent to the chevle leida, to pain, to birth pangs, to the pain, the labour pains, and that's how the Targum translates it. Back to Rashi, Nachle v'liyal. We got the end of the pasuk for Nachle v'liyal, and rivers. Nachal is a river, and rivers of evil, or of no, people who are no good, yivasuni, they scare me. Rivers of people who are no good. So Rashi says, why are these people, why are these groups of enemies defined as rivers? What's the connection to a river? So Rashi explains, it means like a river flows with force, so too my enemies come on me with force. That's how Rashi, that hence the analogy to rivers. For Nachale v'liyal, enemies come on to me in force.
Constant force.
And in fact, this is extended a bit by the Meiri, who says, why like a river? Like a river constantly flows, as you say. So he says, he calls it Techifas Hatzoros. That's the expression of the Meiri. Techifas Hatzoros means the proximity of one difficulty to another. It's constant trouble, like the constant flow of water. So too, here is a constant flow. Techifas Hatzoros, the unceasing presence of difficulties. The Matzidus Tzion, he explains the word chevle, like the Targum, i.e. means pains, difficulties or pains, like the Targum translated it as labor pains. So he says, chevle maves, the pains of death constantly surround me, and he quotes a pasuk for this. It's a pasuk in Hosea, and it's chapter Yud Gimel, pasuk Yud Gimel, where the pasuk says, talking about Averis done by Ephraim, and Ephraim is synonymous with Klal Yisrael, like Avin Yakuli Ephraim. Ephraim is a moshel to the whole of Klal Yisrael, and the Novi warns them, Chevle Yoleda Yovo Ulo. The pains of giving birth pangs or labor pains, Yovo Ulo will come to him. Yeah. So again, so there's the word chevle, and the Mitzvah Tzion defines our word chevle maves as, again, similar. That he quotes that pasuk to define the word chevle as being pain, as being difficulties. But then there's a different shot on v'nachle v'liyal. So Rashi learns v'nachle v'liyal means the rivers, constant flow of people who are no good, of my enemies, yivasuni, are frightening me. The Mitzvah Tzion says the word nachle is a completely different word, and he defines it from a pasuk in Nochum. It's Pasuk in Nochum, and it's chapter Gimel, Pasuk Yotes. In fact, it's the very last Pasuk of the book of Nochum, which says, again, another dire warning of punishments to Klal Yisrael. In Keha Lishivrecha, no one will pale when you are in pain or when you're smashed to pieces. No one will be shocked. When Klal Yisrael suffer punishment, in Keha, no one will pale, you know, in shock or no one will be amazed, and Klal Yisrael suffer punishments. Why? Because we deserve it. That's the gist of this pasuk. And then the pasuk says, Nachla Makosecha. Your wound will be Nachla. Now here the word Nachla comes from the same word as Machla, i.e. an illness. Like a chole is someone who's ill. So nachla makosecho, your wounds will make you sick, will make you ill. So the Mitzvah Tzion learns that our pasuk, the nachale v'liyal, is illness, sickness of people who are evil, or the people who are evil will cause you to become ill, to become sick. Yivasini, they scare, they terrify me. That's how the Mitzvah Tzion learns it. And then we come on to this word v'liya'al, very interesting word v'liya'al, v'nachle v'liya'al. So the Mitzvah Tzion on the word v'liya'al, he learns very similarly to Rashi in Chumash. Now you find the pasuk, it's a pasuk in Devarim, and it's chapter Yud Gimel, pasuk Yud Dalet. It's actually not that long to go, it's Parshas Re'eh, chapter Yud Gimel, pasuk Yud Dalet, which speaks about the Ir HaNidachas, the town that are all swept off their feet and go and serve Avodah Zarah. And the prophet says that the town was persuaded into serving Avodah Zarah by a couple of people. Yotzu anoshim b'nei v'liya'al mikirbecha. Evil men come out from before you, and they persuade, they with rhetoric, they persuade this town to go and serve Avodah Zarah. But the key word here is, of course, B'nei Vili'al. So what is the definition of Vili'al? So there's a number of different shotim. Rashi there explains the word Vili'al as being Beli'ol. Worthless. Thank you. You're worthless. Yeah, that's another. Yeah, worthless, evil, worthless. They're all the pshatim already come to much the same idea. But how?
The translation is worthless.
Oh, very good. Rashi defines it as Beli'ol. They have no yoke.
Yeah, no yoke. Worthless and wicked is.
There are two different things, but it means they're worthless because they're wicked. It's worthlessness born out of evil. That's what it is. And these people, they're out to persuade people to worship a Buddha's
aura. They
believe
it all, it's like
unrestrained. Oh, they don't feel the yoke of Shamayim. Yeah, that's unrestrained, so nice translation, yeah. So the wording in Rashi there in Devarim chapter 2 Gimel Pasuk Yudalet, Beli'ol Sheparku Olo Shamokim, they have broken away from the yoke of Hakadosh Baruch Hu. So that's how Rashi learns it. The Targum there just says B'nei Risha, wicked people. Risha, wicked people. Other pshatim there, one pshat is brought by the Radak. He says Beli Ya'al. This literally is a contraction of the two words. Beli Ya'al. That a person, he won't go up. Shelo ya'ale. He won't go up for liyatsliach. He won't have any success because he's a wicked man. Rabbi Nachman learns slightly differently. Lo ya'ale. This person who's a wicked person, he won't go up. Don't worry. Keep it open. So a bit of fresh air. Leave it open. Lo ya'ale b'michitzoso shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's how Rabbi Nachman learns. Lo ya'ale. A person won't go up. B'michitzoto shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, into the domain of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, into the reserved area of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the loyale. B'li ya'al, this guy will not go up. Rosh Hashanah Hirsch learns again slightly differently. He says B'li ya'al, like you were saying, unrestrained, they don't feel the authority of anyone over them. B'li ya'al, there's no one standing over them. So that's different pshatim on how you learn Beli'al. Mr. the Sion on our pasuk gives a definition that Rashi in the Torah gives, i.e. a person who has no yoke, he doesn't feel any yoke.
Nobody over them by Hashem.
Yeah, but they don't feel any pressure of having any higher authority over them, be it human or divine. Yeah. Oh. Now let's come on to what you were saying about Chevel being a rope. Very interesting. The Ibn Ezra points out is very excited about the wording in the pasuk, the voweling, I should say. Afafuni Chevle Moves. Now this word Chevle, the Ches has a segel, Chevel, and he says it's quite different from a word which you'll find in Yehoshua, and it's in chapter Yud Zayin Pasuk Hey. In Yehoshua chapter Yud Zayin Pasuk Hey, it speaks about dividing out the land of Eretz Yisrael between the tribes, and the pasuk there speaks about the number of portions of land that went to the tribe of Manasseh, and the pasuk says Vayiplu Chavlei Manasseh Asara. There were 10 portions of land going to Manasseh. Now here the word is chavle, okay, with a patach under the ches. Says the Ibn Ezra, what does that mean? Chavle there literally means the ropes of. And it refers to the measurement of land that used to be done using ropes. So you measured a rope, so you knew the length of the rope, and then you used the rope to measure out the dimensions of a piece of land. So areas of land are often called chevel nachaloso in Hazinu. That's what you were saying, Hazinu expert, yeah, chevel nachaloso. And here in Yehoshua chapter 9, pasuk hey, vayiplu chavle Manasseh, and it means the territories of Manasseh. Why is it called? Why do we use the word territories using the word chavle? Because chavle literally means the ropes of. Says Ibn Ezra, it's quite different. Chavle is a plural construct, plural smichus, the ropes of, and that's a ches of the patach, is the ropes of. Here we've got chevle, and it refers to pains or difficulties. It's a different word completely.
I think
there's a word in Yerit for terrorists called Chabalanim.
Ah, that will come from Mechabel. Yeah. Mechabel, which means to do damage.
To damage, yeah. Oh. So Chevle Moves could be people who damage and cause death.
Oh. Now, what you're saying is exactly what is recorded in the Sefer, let me check it, in the Mossad Rav Kook on Tehillim. Let me just check it. The Mossad Rav Kook on Tehillim, oh, it's over here, yeah, yes, absolutely. And he says it's a reference to the Malach HaMoves. And he says, although the word Chevle means the pains of, and the word chavle means the ropes of, he says there's a connection. Why? Because he says it refers to the Malach HaMoves, and generally any enemy, and he says it's like a tzayod, like a hunter. He's after you. The Malach HaMoves is a hunter. He's after people. And therefore, the hunting tools of the hunter will include a rope. So he says, although it really does mean chevle, it means the pains of, nevertheless, there's a connection to the word chavle, the ropes of, because it's a weapon.
It's all connected. It's all interconnected. Pain.
Yeah, ropes. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Of course it's connected. Yeah. Mossad Rav Kook does say something which I'm really not quite clear on in grammar. He says that the word in the singular for a pain is chevel, with a tsere under the ches, and if you put it into the smichus, the pain of, it becomes chevel, with a segol under the ches, and what we've got here is the plural smichus, the plural construct, chevle moves, the pains of death. He says the word for a rope in the absolute form, or the nifrod, just rope, is chevel, a rope, while the rope of is chavel, with a chatapatach under the ches. And that makes, and that's the construct form, the rope of. And that goes very well because you've got the word hevel, very similar word. Hevel, which is rubbish. And you find in Koheles the word havel, havolim. Vanity, rubbish, yeah. So hevel in the nifrod, in the absolute form, just means rubbish or vanity. Put it into the smichus, or the construct form, the vanity of, it becomes havel, with a chatapatach on the hay, which is, and of course, chevel and hevel are almost identical words, they're both three-letter words, the only difference is between a hay and a ches, and the smichus form is also follows suit. Havel havolim, the spotting in Koheles, I can't remember where, havel havolim amar Koheles hakol hovel, and you've got the word chevel, with a chatapatach on the ches, which means the rope of. Well here, in Yeshua, the pasuk in Yeshua that we quoted was Chavlei Menashe, the ropes of, or the territories of, in the plural. And here you've got Chavlei, which means the pains of. But he does make that connection between the Malach HaMoves and pain and rope and a weapon of the tzayod.
Between the Chayin and Hevel.
Chayin and Hevel. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, the word Hevel, which means rubbish or vanity, with the name Hevel, the son of Adam and Chava. Very strange name, isn't it? Why call someone Hevel? Yeah, but why give him a strange name?
Hevel, he died, he's dead.
That's an early death.
The first one to die.
Yeah. Tene. Yeah, well, why did they give him such a strange name? Why did Adam and Chava call their son Hevel? Which means rubbish or vanity, or because, so you're saying he given that name because he was predestined to die young and his life came to nothing.
Yeah, but
why give him that name in the first place? All right, so while we're on that Mossad Rav Kook, so you must come into the Mossad Rav Kook Sefer. Okay. So, and he says that the word Bliya'al is again a reference to the, he says, Chevle Maves, Afavini Chevle Maves, the Nachale Bliya'al, and the rivers of Bliya'al. Who's this Bliya'al? He says that's the Malach HaMoves. Why? Because people go down with the Malach HaMoves, Bliya'al, they don't come up again. It's death.
No, they
with chesamesim. Okay, but besides that, there's a bliyal. That's how he learns it. And according to the Masada Rav Kook, he's just saying that David is referring to any situation of danger where his life was in danger, and the Malach HaMavis is threatening him at every corner because his enemies are after him, and of course he sees the Malach HaMavis in his enemies because it's the Malach HaMavis operating through his enemies. Okay, let's come back to where we are. The Ibn Ezra says, "For Nachale v'Liyal Yivar Suni, the rivers of worthlessness or evil scare me." And the Ibn Ezra says, "We find a few places where enemies are compared to water." And he quotes a pasuk in Yeshaya. It's chapter Ches, pasuk Zayin. V'lachein hine Hashem ma'ale aleihem esmei hanohar. The Novi is saying HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to punish Klal Yisrael. Why? Because they supported Malchus Yisrael, which is essentially an evil line of kings, rather than supporting Malchus Yehuda, which is essentially a righteous line of kings. So, and that's the previous pasuk says that. They celebrated with Ritzin, Uven Remaliyahu, they celebrated with these various kings who were kings of Malchus Yisrael. Based on that, the pasuk goes on, "For Lachin, therefore," says the Novi, "Hinei Hashem ma'ale aleihem," Hashem will bring upon them, "es mei hanahar ha'atsumim," the strong waters of the river, "v'harabim," and the many waters of this river. And who's that? "Es melech Asher ves kol kavodo," king of Asher, that will be Sancheirev, king of Asher, and all his entourage, all his high-flying army, they're all going to come upon Klal Yisrael. So the enemy, that's the king of Asher, is described as mei hanahar ha'atsumim v'harabim, the strong and powerful and plentiful waters of the river. So he quotes that pasuk, even Ezra quotes that pasuk to show how very often enemies are described by water. It goes very well with our pasuk, "Ganachale v'liyal," the worthless rivers, the rivers of worthlessness, or the evil waters, Yivarsuni scare me. He quotes another pasuk as well in Tehillim, chapter Kuf Kaf Dalad, pasuk Dalad, from the Shamalas, where the pasuk says, "Azai hamayim shetafunu," water swamps us. "Nachla avar al nafshenu," and that word nachla again is an expression of illness from choli. "Machla avar al nafshenu," illness overwhelms our lives, something like that. So as I am shetafun, and it's a reference to enemies, and enemies again compared to water. So likewise, in our part of it, enemies compared to water. Oh, now let's do what we always do, which is to compare our pasuk with a pasuk in Shmuel Beis. So you've got a bookmark there, going to Shmuel Beis, chapter Kaf Beis. Yeah, that bookmark there. So keep one place in one and one place in the other, and you'll see how they compare. Hold on a minute, I haven't got the place there. Shmuel Beis. That's it. So comparing Shmuel Beis, chapter Kaf Beis, pasuk Hey, with our pasuk. So there are a few differences. So there we've got Ki Afothuni Mishperei Maves. Now instead of being Chevle Maves, it's Mishperei Maves. And that word Mishperei, some learn Rashi learns that it's a reference to the birthing stool, which is called the Mishbar. Mishbar is the birthing stool.
Destructive angel.
Yes. Yeah. Shin Veis Reish meaning to break as well. Maybe it's called I'm not sure why this ever. Destructive forces. But let's learn that Rashi first. Rashi learns that this Mishperei Maves is a reference to the pain, the labor pains again. And that's how the Targum there also learns, labor pains. Why is the birthing stool called a Mishbar? The main answer is I don't know. But maybe it's because the baby is now going to break away from the mother. So they're going to become two life forms instead of one life form. It's two different entities. It'll become, the baby's about to be born, become two different entities. So maybe that's why. In English as well, we call about breaking the waters. Right? The waters are broken with the baby. So maybe there's a connection there. So that's one difference. Our pasuk gives Chevle Maves, while the pasuk in Shmuel Beis gives Mishperei Maves. And another difference is that pasuk begins with the word Ki. Ki, Afafuni Mishperei Maves. While our pasuk just goes straight into the word afafuni, without the word ki. Another difference is that in our pasuk we've got the word afafuni with a vav, while there afafuni is not spelt with a vav, it's just spelt with a kubbutz under the second fe instead of the shuruk vav. So there's another difference. I haven't found anyone who comments on that. Then the pasuk continues, Nachalev Liyal, this pasuk in Shmuel Beis, Nachalev Liyal, rivers of worthlessness or of evil, Yivasuni, scare me or terrify me. And again, that word Yivasuni in Shmuel Beis is written without a vav, while in our pasuk Yivasuni there in Shmuel Beis it's written Yivasuni with a kubutz under the soft, the three dots under the soft, while in our pasuk we got shuruk vav instead. So again, another difference. And another difference is that the pasuk in Shmuel Beis says Nachalev Liyaal, rivers of evil, while our pasuk has an extra vav there, V'Nachalev Liyaal. Okay. Yeah, that's right. So there are a number of differences. Yeah, we've got the extra word. Yeah, oh. So all these differences are all significant, although I don't know exactly, I can't explain all of them. So just a few things there. First of all, on that pasuk in Shmuel Beis, the word afafuni is explained by the Mahari Kora, one of the Mefarshim in Shmuel Beis. Afafuni comes from the word af, which means anger. And he says that there are two phases in the word. Well, that comes from the word af, which means anger. There are two phases there in the word. One fay, he says, is from the root, which means anger, and the other fay is equal to, it's just a fay of shimush. It's an extra fay, a prefix or a suffix. I'm not quite sure myself which it is. I discussed it with my good friend in Manchester, who's got tremendous knowledge on all these things, Jeremy Stanton. And he drew a blank on this as well. In this piece of Mahari Koral, he says that Afafuni comes from Af, which means anger, means the enemies are angry with me. Afafuni chalimoves, they present anger to me, trying to kill me. But why we've got to have I've got to see. So why we've got two different phases there. So it says one for the root Af, and one he says is a prefix or suffix. The Radak there in Shmuel Beis, and also the Radak here, learns the word Mishbere. That's it's Kiafafuni Mishbere Maves. He says it comes from the word from the root Shin Beis Reish, to break.
It's a breaking agent.
A breaking agent. Nice one. A breaking agent. The enemies are breaking me down. They're out to break my heart.
Destructive. Yeah.
Out to break my heart. Exactly. And he quotes a pasuk in Yonah, Perek Beis. Pasuk Dalet, in the tefillah of Yonah when he's inside the fish, the pasuk there says it's Perek Beis Pasuk Dalet. It's not. Vatashlicheni Metzula Bilavav Yamim. You cast me into the depths. This is Yonah doubling inside the fish. You cast me, Akash Vachim, you threw me into the depths. Bilavav Yamim, in the heart of the seas. For Nahori Sevivemi, I'm surrounded everywhere by water. Kol Mishborecha Vegalecha Olai Ovaru, and the key word is Mishborecha. All your breakers and your waves passed over me. He says, I know it's an expression of being surrounded by water. And it's a breaker, which is a type of wave. I think a breaker is a wave that breaks over the rocks, which is why in English it's called a breaker. But in Hebrew as well, Mishborecha, from the root Shin Beis Reish, which is to break. It's a type of wave, but it's a wave that smashes over the rocks and breaks up over the rocks.
Stops the wave from coming in.
To protect the land.
A man-made barricade.
Yeah,
which breaks the force of the wave.
But isn't a breaker also a type of wave?
It's a wave break. As it's coming in, the water is going back to it as it comes back and it goes around. It breaks the wave.
It's a type of wave as well.
The
reverse current is turning over, so it's breaking the waves. The word there is Mishbarecho, which is again from Shin Beis Reish, which is to break. So the Radak quotes that passage in Yonah, Perek Beis Pasuk Dalet, as being to explain our word in the word in Shmuel Beis, Chatzakav Beis, Kiafafuni Mishbere Moves, the forces breaking agents. The enemies are out to break me down. Yeah. Oh. The Radak asks Akasha there in Shmuel Beis and also here, same Kasha, and he says, V'nachale v'liya'al, rivers of worthlessness or of evil. He says the word nachale is a plural. Well, if it's going with an adjective, b'liya'al, which means evil or bad, surely b'liya'al is a singular form and nachale is a plural form. So how can they be matched together? How can you have the noun? It's a description. And I always thought the b'liya'al was a noun, not an adjective. But he seems to learn it's an adjective, and therefore, how come it doesn't match? Nachale v'liya'al, it's nachale is a plural, v'liya'al is a singular. How can they be put together? That's the Radak's kasha. And he answers it with a very simple answer. He says, David is addressing each and every single enemy. And therefore he describes each and every single enemy using the adjective in the singular, b'liya'al. That's the Radak's pshat. Now, very interesting pshat brought by the Ralbag in Shmuel Beis on this word afafuni. And he says the word afafuni means a nose. And it comes from the word af, which is a nose. Now, very interesting, this word af for a nose, I think I mentioned it once before in this year, the word for a face, there are two words in Hebrew for face. One of them is ponim, and the other is apayim, like nefilas apayim, targum, where we fall on our face, nefilas apayim. So these two words for face, the word ponim is a plural, ponim, and the word apayim is also plural, but it's a dual plural. Apayim, like raglayim, 2 feet, and yodayim, 2 hands. So apayim is also plural form. Why is that? Because the human face, and in fact animal faces as well, have a duality. They are symmetrical. Yeah, the two halves of the face are symmetrical. So because of that, 2 eyes, 2 nostrils, 2 ears, and so on. So because of that, the word in Hebrew for a face takes on a plural form, ponim, which is a plural ending, ponim, like seforim, melochim. It's got a plural ending because the face itself has a plurality about it. Likewise, apayim, the other word for face, again, is a dual plural, again, representing the symmetry within the face.
Was there something about the Marisha?
Yes, I can't remember it, yeah. He was originally created as one unit containing male and female, and then later on split. Rings a bell, yeah, it's beneficial. But both of those two words for a face are fascinating words, because ponim comes from the root pei nun hei, which means to turn. And the only part of the body which can turn, right, is the face, right? You turn towards someone. Yeah, so the ponim is, that's why the word for a corner is pino, because you turn round a corner. So it's all related words. Right? And the word apayim is also an interesting word because it comes from the word af, which means a nose. Now, I can't remember where I saw this. I saw it once. I think I saw it in one of the Rishonim on Sefer Ovadia, but I'm not sure. But the word for a face is apayim. Why? Because it comes from the word af, which means a nose, and the nose is the most protruding part of the face. So, and then the central part of the face is the nose, so it's the bit that sticks out most, especially if you're Jewish. So therefore, the word for a face, apayim, comes from the most protruding, most prominent part of the face, which is the af, the nose. So there we go. So the Ralbag learns afafuni, coming from the word af, meaning a nose, and he says, they turn their nose towards me, my enemies turn towards me. Afafuni chevle moves, my enemies, who are these forces of death, they turn towards me. And the expression to turn is the word for a nose, af, because they're turning, the person who turns their face towards me automatically turns their nose towards me as well. That's how he learns. Oh. The Abarbanel goes through the Abarbanel compares the two chapters. Our chapter in Tehillim with the chapter in Shmuel Beis. And he explains all the differences. Or at least he explains some of the differences. So one of the things he says, that the pasuk in Shmuel Beis begins with this word ki. Ki afafuni mishmei moves. And he says, And it means when. The Avraham Hillel translates the word ki in Shmuel Beis as being when. When my enemies, or these forces of evil and death, when they surround me, or when they turn to me, however you want to learn it. So he learns the word ki there means ka'asher, when. Why is it that the chapter in Tehillim drops the word ki? So the Avraham Hillel says a pshat that I don't really understand, but I'll say it anyway. He says, because the word ki could be misunderstood to mean because. And you might, in case you think the our pasuk, the enemies surround me because of what I've said previously, the previous pasukim, where the previous pasukim say, describe me Hashem as my savior, my rock, my salvation, says, that's not going to make any sense at all. And therefore, when it came to Tehillim, David dropped the word ki from the chapter in Tehillim, because for fear that it could be misunderstood.
Because the people who are against us are against HaKadosh Baruch Hu in every single way, whatever he does.
Yeah. Go on, and therefore?
And therefore the key would be appropriate.
It's appropriate to say the key.
Oh.
Yeah.
Maybe it's faster.
Yeah. Don't know the answer to that. All right. The Avraham Hillel felt it could be misunderstood, and therefore when it came to Tehillim, the Avraham Hillel said, I think a few times now where I've come across this, the Avraham Hillel says that the chapter in Tehillim is an improvement on the chapter in Shmuel Beis. And that David made a few changes here and there to make it a tefillah for all time and so on and so forth. And he seems to, David topped and tailed it, made a few corrections. And he seems to say that one of them is to miss out the word key. A bit hard to understand that, though.
The answer to the normal question is that, okay, yes, because my enemies are enemies of Hashem as well. So it's a consequence. You can expect that this is what's happening. But you can also interpret it as you're saying that anybody who believes in Hashem is going to have these enemies, and it's a consequence which is on the bad side rather than fulfilling Hashem's word. It's like a punishment. And so, yeah. And what is the word?
Yeah.
Take it 2 ways.
Yeah, it could be, absolutely. Listen to this vote from the Avraham Hillel. He comments on the difference between the pasuk in Shmuel Beis, which says Nachale v'liyal, and the pasuk in Tehillim, which says the Nachale v'liyal. Why the difference? Why in Tehillim is there this extra vav, the Nachale, while in Shmuel Beis it's without the vav? Says the Avraham Hillel, an amazing idea. It's such a simple chiddush. He says as follows: because in Shmuel Beis the pasuk says ki afafuni mishperei moves, and mishperei is an expression of the sea. Yes, I've got it right. Because he says mishperei is, yes, I've got it right. Because the pasuk in Shmuel Beis uses the expression ki afafuni mishperei moves, and mishperei is an expression of water, like we saw the pasuk in Yonah, kol mishborech avigalech olai avor, it's a type of wave. Therefore, the second half of the pasuk echoes the first half. Nachalei v'liyal yivasuni, rivers of evil terrify me. So the word nachalei in the second half is simply echoing the word mishperei in the first half. And they mean pretty much the same thing. It's a poetic form of talking about enemies and using the expression of water. But the two are parallel with each other. Mishperei, the waves of, and Nachale, the rivers of, comes to much the same thing. And because they are almost the same, it's just a poetical repetition, therefore you don't need the Vav. Because Nachale isn't really adding much more than it said at the beginning, Mishperei. However, in Tehillim, we haven't got the word Mishperei. In Tehillim, we've got Afafuni Chevle Moves, the pains of death. And therefore, the word V'nachale is introducing a whole new concept of water. If it's a whole new concept, you need a Vav to introduce it. The pains of death and the rivers of evil. So therefore, because the word, because in Tehillim we're using Chevle Moves and not Mishperei Moves, Therefore, in Tehillim, you need the extra vav. V'nachale v'li'al, and the rivers of evil, because it's not an absolute echo of Chevle Moves. So it's a whole new concept. That's how the Abba Avinel explains it. Isn't that beautiful, Pshat?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? To compare these differences. Okay, let's move on. Another interesting thing is a difference in the Targum. The Targum in Shmuel Beis on V'nachalei V'liya'al translates it as Siyas Chayovin, a group of Chayovin, people who are Chayov, i.e. people who are evil. While the Tehillim on our chapter translates it as V'siyas Tolomayo. Now the word Tolomayo means oppression. Group of oppressors. Obviously it comes to much the same idea, it's the same concept. But it's just the Targum uses two different words between them. Good. Let's come on to the Medrash Shochetov. Medrash Shochetov explains the word Afafuni in five different ways. Okay, Afafuni Chevle Moves. So he says that Higiyu Hatzoros Ad Ha'af. The troubles reach my nose. A bit like, rather like a person who's in water, and the water goes up to his nostrils, then he's in serious trouble. Yeah, so Higiyu Hatzoros Ad Ha'af. My life is threatened by my tzoros, which have reached my nose. Second pshat is the word afafuni, and this is a very interesting chiddush. Although it's written with an aleph, it can be interpreted as being spelt with an ayin instead. And afafuni with an ayin comes from the same word as an oaf, a bird, with an ayin. And he says, hatsoros tosos uvoos olai ko'of. My troubles fly upon me. They're flying overhead like a bird. So they've got the advantage of height over me. My tzoros are towering over me or hovering over me like a bird. He then gives another pshat, that the misgalgalos or vo'osolai, my troubles come upon me, ker-ofan. Ofan is a wheel. Ofnayim. Ofnayim is a bicycle.
Ofan
makavosov. Yes, yes, yeah. Oh, so you know it's from Aryeh's lady. Yeah, so... So, it's my job to remember, finishing out lady. So, ka'ofan, right? Like a wheel. In other words, my troubles keep on... They keep circling towards me. Something like that. Ka'ofan v'galgal, like a wheel. Oh, galgal is another word for a wheel. Yeah, that's how he brings it. Then the Medrash Shechetov says another pshat, and it's also brought in the Yalkut HaMochiri, in the name of the Rav. Tanyo ani min oko. Oh yes. Afafuni, again using a word meaning af, meaning a nose, referring to the human face, and he's saying, I, David, turn away. Afafuni, I turn my nose away, or I turn my face away from Chevle Moves, from the troubles. So he says, Panyo ani min oko. I'm turning away from trouble. I turn myself away from trouble. And it's also echoed there in the Medrash Shechetov as by Rav Acha, who says, Nifnesi lechan lechan. I've turned this way and that way, ve'eini goel ela otto. The only Redeemer is you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So they learn this word afafuni, referring to the nose, af meaning the nose, in turn referring to the face, and I turn this way and that way with all my tzoros, and the only redeemer, the only goal I have is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the final pshat brought in the Medrash Shechetov is that it comes from the word afafon. Now the word afafon is a thread that has been doubled to give it extra strength. And he says if a woman is weaving with a double thread, that double thread is called an afafon. And afafuni chevle moves means my troubles come onto me, or the pains of death come to me with a double whammy, with a double force. Yeah? Like this afafon, which is a double thread. Yeah, that's how the Medrash Shechetov learns it. Norman, it's gone 10. You got to go, and I'll finish off the pasuk. I'll finish off. You can get to. Well, we've got a while to go. We've got a while to go. Yeah. So, you're welcome to stay, but I don't want to keep you. Yeah. Okay. two different shotim on about this Nachalev Eliyahu, two interpretations on this the Nachalev Eliyahu, the rivers of evil or forces of evil. One brought by Rav Avram ben Ramach, who learns the Nachalev Eliyahu is a reference to the enemy's plans against David. It's not such a big chiddush really, but he says it refers dafka to the machshavas, to the thoughts of the enemies, the plans of the enemies who are out to get me. The Sefer Meir Tehillos says that this whole pasuk is all about the Yetzirah, and the enemy in question is my enemy within. We've had similar ideas before. The enemy from within, i.e. the Yetzirah. And he says, V'nachalev liya'al, the rivers of evil within me that scare me. What is that? It's my Yetzirah, which scares me. That's how he learns it. Now, listen to this pshat from the Malbim. The Malbim gives another pshat on this word, afafuni. He says, it comes from the word peor, which means a corner. Now you've got the letters in the wrong order, of course. In afafuni, you've got the aleph before the fe. Whereas in the word peor, which means a corner, you've got the pe before the aleph. Okay? Says the Malbim, we do find similar ideas of words in Hebrew where very often letters can be interchanged with each other with an identical meaning. And I can give you two examples. One example is the word keves. Kaf Ves Sin, which means a lamb. And another word for a lamb is Kesev, Kaf Sin Ves. Keves and Kesev. They both mean the same, they both mean a lamb. You've got the same letters in a different sequence. Yeah? So he says, likewise, you have the word a Pelegesh, which is a concubine, a second-rate wife. And you also find the word shegel, not a very nice word at all. Shegel, shin gimel lamed, which is a rather base reference to a wife whom one does not necessarily love, and who is also not necessarily the husband's plan is not to raise children from that wife. One for pleasure. Yeah. For Biyah, purely and simply for Biyah. And we find this in Nehemiah, Artaxerxes. The Persian king, Artaxerxes, had, speaks about his wife sitting next to him. I hope I've got this right. Sitting next to him. And calls her the Shegel. You also find this root Shin Gimel Lamed in the Tochacha in Kisovo, but it's considered such an unpleasant expression that we don't read it like that. It's a Krikasiv, and the word is read completely differently. Yeah.
In the wives of one who killed Cain.
Lamech. But it wasn't
a mistake.
So now the word shegel is related to the word pilegesh, a concubine, but the letters have interchanged. Shegel is shin gimel lamed, whereas pilegesh pe lamed gimel shin. So you got that root shin lamed gimel shin, but just in a different order. Yeah, you see it there. Yeah, so you got shegel with the shin first, then gimel, then lamed. While pelegesh, you got pe, then lamed, then gimel, then shin. But it's the same letters in different sequence. And this was told to me by my friend Jeremy Stanton. He suggested this to me it's true. Pelegesh has got an extra pe as well. Okay, but you can see that the word pelegesh contains the word shegel. They're just with interposed letters.
Hey, of course, it's giving emphasis to the first letter, isn't it?
Okay,
it could be important letters.
It could be. I'm not sure what the function of that pay is, but you can see that you've got the same letters, but just in a different sequence. And my friend Jeremy Stanton told me that those two are connected words.
Hmm.
Yeah. So, and also keves and kesed. Yeah. So based on that, the Malbim on our pasuk takes this word afafuni, where you've got the aleph before the fei, and he connects it to pay or, where you've got the pay before the aleph, and it means a corner.
With an
Evan
for stone
and
a sin. Oh.
Originally, that would be with an iron.
Ah.
Evan. No. There's a different word. Evan is Aleph Veis Nun, and Oven is Ayin Vov Nun. So that's very, very different. Yeah. So, but what you've got here, Afafuni, with interposed letters, he connects it to a payoff, and it means a corner. And based on that, he says, my enemies surround me on every corner. That's how the word afafuni comes to mean to surround me, because it's connected to the word peor. Every corner I turn to, I'm surrounded by an enemy. Isn't that amazing? Yeah, the insight into the language is tremendous here, yeah? Oh, now, that's the Malbim. The Malbim also says that the first half of the pasuk speaks about moves. Afafuni chevle moves. The pains of death surround me, while the second half of the pasuk speak about Belial, which is a reference to the enemies, my evil enemies, the forces of water, as forceful as water, the rivers of evil scare me. And he's saying, I've got Moves on one side, and I've got my enemies on the other side, and therefore there's nowhere to turn. That's how the Malbim learns. Yeah? That's how the Malbim learns it. Now, very interesting piece of Rabbi Shimshon von Hirsch. Again, on this word afafuni. Rabbi Shimshon von Hirsch learns that the word afafuni, from the root aleph fei fei, means, on our pasuk he says it means to crowd someone in, or to crowd something in, i.e., and therefore to surround. But elsewhere, that's how the Rabbi Shimshon von Hirsch on our pasuk learns. But there's also a reference to Rabbi Shimshon von Hirsch in Shemos, chapter 10, Rav Pasuk Ches, where there the Pasuk says, let me get you the Pasuk, I hope I've got it here. Nope, I don't have it. Oh, 1 minute, I'll find it. Shemos. Tesvav Ches in Shemos, in the Shira. Uveruach hapecho ne'er mumayim. And from the breath of your nostrils, the water piled up. Yeah? So, apecho, of course, nostrils or nose. Yeah, af, meaning a nose. There, Rav Shimshon von Hirsch explains that the root aleph fei fei means to pant, and to pant with longing for something. I can't wait for something. Yeah. So based on that, he says that's why the nose is called af, because it's to do with panting, and it's also related to an insatiable desire for something, drive for something. The nose has an insatiable desire for oxygen. You never stop, a person cannot stop breathing.
The food is lust for food.
Okay, but the main thing is that if a person eats a meal, say fine, he's sated, he can't eat another thing for a few hours. Yeah, but breathing, however much you've been breathing till now, you don't stop. You've got to carry on breathing. So he says the word af is an insatiable desire for something, and to pant and to long for something. So afafuni here means that my enemies are longing to get me, and they're panting with excitement to get me. That's how he learns. And therefore, the word for patience is erech apayim. Erech meaning long. I can spend a long time panting for something. In other words, I'm not rushing into it. Erech apayim is patience. Apayim really means the nose. And it can also mean the face. Yeah? And the two nostrils are apayim. That's a dual plural because it's two nostrils. So, but he says he connects it to longing for something. The human body longs for oxygen. Yeah? So he, therefore, erech hapayim, he says, an expression of patience. I can wait, erech hapayim. I can long for something for a while, and I'm not pushing for it. Erech hapayim is patience. Isn't that beautiful? Again, Rav Shmuel Falhash blows us away with his knowledge of Lashon HaKodesh, yeah? Yeah? Okay, now, I have this sefer. Listen to this. I have such an awe from this. I don't know where I got this sefer from. I suspect Yaakov Chaim found it in the Seamus box. It's a sefer with bits and pieces on Tehillim. It's called Korban Todah, and it's a sefer written by Reb Gedalia Silverstone, who lived in Washington. He was a rav in Washington recently, in the 20th century. And he says, Nipshat, whole Nipshat, V'nachale v'liya'al, the word nachale, we've had one pshat, it's an expression of chole, illness. We've had another pshat, it's an expression of water, like a nachal, a river. He says, whole Nipshat, nachalo, inheritance. Ah, Nipshat, yeah? So he says as follows, Nachale v'liya'al, David says, my evil inheritors, those who will inherit me, who are evil, yivasuni, they scare me. Now, who are the people who are going to inherit David who are evil? Two sons, Avshalom and... Gone out of my head. Hang on. Yeah. It's gone out of my head. Okay. Ben Chagis. I'll get it. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Adoniyahu ben Chagis. Says David, I have two sons who are evil, and they're my sons, and they're going to inherit me. And because they are evil, they scare me. Says David, Afafuni chevle moves. I'm surrounded by pains of death. But that's okay. That doesn't bother me. I'm not scared of death. What does scare me is v'nachlev liyal. Yivasani, that scares me. When I have sons who are evil, that scares me. Why? Because a person can be brought up, can be raised, I should say, a person can be elevated in Madrega by having good children. So I've got two bad children. I've got Adoniyahu ben Chagis and Avshalom. These are two evil children. Therefore, Yivasuni. That scares me. The Misa itself, I'm not scared by Misa. I'm prepared, I'm ready to meet HaKadosh Baruch Hu. After Tani Chevle Moves. But the Nachle V'Lial, if I've got children who are going to, Nachala, they're going to inherit me and they're bad, they're V'Lial, that's Yivasuni, that scares me. And he says as follows. He says, and he quotes this chart, he brings it from Hagon HaTzadik Rabbi Yaakov Mislutsk. Yeah, he quotes it from there. And he quotes the pasuk in Bereishis about when Yitzchok was fed the food by Yaakov brings him the food. It's in Parashas Toldos. It's in Bereishis chapter 9, pasuk Lamed Gimel. Yaakov brings him the food, and then Esau comes in. He's also got food, and that pasuk says, "Vayecharad Yitzchok charado gedola ad ma'od." Yitzchok became petrified. Says Rashi, why was Yitzchak petrified? Ra Gehenom Pesuchel Tachtov. He saw Gehenom opening up in front of him. Esav walks in and Yitzchak experiences Gehenom. Yitzchak's got this evil son, Esav. He's got an evil son, Esav. That to him, having an evil son like Esav is Gehenom. So he says as well, likewise here, Nachale v'liyal, Yivar Sunni, having these evil children who will inherit me, that scares me. And he quotes two interesting Maisalach. He says in the year 1934, he was staying in Tzfas. And he even says, writes this little story, little anecdote about his own life, this Gedalia Silverstone. He was in Tzfas in Eretz Yisrael, and he says he stayed in the Malon Herzliya, must be a hotel in Tzfas in that time called Malon Herzliya. And he says opposite the hotel is a shul, and the shul is called the Americana Shul. The Americana Shul must be, maybe it started by Americans, I guess. Anyway, and he says there that he gave a drasha there in the shul. And in the shul there, he said that in America, of course, 1934 America, Yiddishkeit was not strong. He says in America there used to be a minhag when it came to yizkar, the shamus or the gabbai gives a bang on the bimah, and he says people with parents still should please leave shul. Minhag that people with children shouldn't stay in shul for yizkar. He says that minhag has now fallen into disuse. Why? Because the gabbai know full well. If the Yiddishkeit in America was so schwach, was so bad, that people would only ever come to shul for yizkar. And someone with parents wouldn't bother coming to shul. So they didn't bother asking people with parents to leave shul, because anyone with parents wouldn't show up anyway. So he says, what a terrible reflection it is, and how terrible it is for those parents to have such children who have strayed so far from Yiddishkeit. And then he brings an opposite story, a story with an opposite theme. He says that when the Vilna Gaon's mother was on her deathbed, she turned to her son, the Vilna Gaon, whose name was Reb Eliyahu, and she said to him, Elinka, that must be like a diminutive form for Eliyahu, Elinka. Yeah? So that must be what the mother called him. And she said, what will I say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu when I come up to Shamayim? How will I present myself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? To which the Vilna Gaon said to her, you can tell HaKadosh Baruch Hu quite proudly that you spent time with your children. That was the answer. Or some, that in your old age you were with your children. That was the answer the Vilna Gaon gave. What's the pshat? The pshat in that is that the Vilna Gaon was one of five brothers, each of whom was a tremendous Talmud Chacham. So the Vilna Gaon saying to her, you can turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu without fear, and you can say, I raised five Talmud Chachamim. That's us. So again, to the children who are Talmud Chacham, the children who are good children, that's a good nachalot to leave over. And here David is saying, V'nachalei v'liyal yivah suni, my two children, Avshalom and Adoni Yahu ben Chagis, those are my bad, that's my bad machalah, and therefore Yivah Sunni, they scare me. Yeah? Good. Okay. This we did. Oh, last thing on the pasuk from a sefer called Eretz HaChayim.
The Vilna Gaon?
Oh, David.
Rechavam.
Shlomo Melech.
Shlomo
Melech.
Did he?
They broke off when he died. The kingdom was split.
Ah, yeah. Well, Rechavam, who is the son of Shlomo, who took over as the next Melech Yehuda, Rechavam, Rabbi Cooper, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, once described him as a weak king. And I can say, it's not a word I would use, but Rabbi Cooper said it, because he wasn't sure how to lead, and he asked his elderly advisors what to do and how to behave with the people, and then he asked advice from his young friends as well. Rabbi Cooper said he was a weak king. A weak king. It's nice to quote Rabbi Cooper today. We've got the Achmasa Sefer Torah today in his memory. So a new Sefer Torah today. So it's nice to say it over in his name.
What was the name of the king who went up to the tribe of Israel?
In the days that that king. That was Rechavam. Rechavam. And the son of Shlomo was. I'm sorry. Rechavam was the son of Shlomo,
yeah.
Who was the next king of Yehuda, yeah. And in his time was Yerovam.
Yeah.
He was evil. He was a Russia.
He was a Russia. And that's who David was also scared of, his grandson. David's grandson.
Who? Yerovam?
Shlomo Melech also. The father of Yerovam.
No, I don't think so. Shlomo, I don't think Shlomo is the father of Yerovam.
Yerovam
ben Nevat. No, Yerovam ben Nevat.
When did the split came? It came when Shlomo Melech died.
Yes.
So his two sons, one was the king of Israel, one was the king of Yehuda.
Whose two sons?
No.
Yerovam, no, definitely not. I can say it with Yerovam was the son of Nevat, Yerovam ben Nevat, and he came from the tribe of Ephraim. and Rechavam was the son of Shlomo from the tribe of Yehuda.
Ah, so the one who broke off
was not the son of Shlomo. He came from the tribe of Ephraim. Yeah. No. Definitely. Yeah.
Okay.
Right. Listen to this last thought from. Yeah. Last thought from the Sefer called Eretz HaChaim on Tilim. It's tricky. Afofuni chevle moves, pains of death surround me. Says the Eretz HaChaim, what's the connection between David and chevle moves, pains of death? So he says as follows, death came to the world due to Adam and Chava. And he quotes a piece of Zohar, very strange piece of Zohar, where the Zohar says, the Pasuk says in Bereishis, chapter Gimel, Pasuk Vav, Vatikach Mipirio, the Chava took from the fruit of the Eitz Hadas, Vatikach Mipirio, says the Zohar, the first two letters of Vatikach, Vav and Tov, the first letter of Mipirio, the Mem, those three letters are separated out from the word, from the two words Vatikach Mipirio, thereby giving you the word Moves. The Mem of Mipirio and the Vav and Tov of Vatikach, giving you the word Moves, because Chava introduced Moves into the world. Likewise, the word Ma'oros, let me find it here, it'll be in my notes. Yeah, here we are. The word Ma'oros, which means light, referring to the stars in the sky at the time of Bereishis. The word light, was taken out of the word Ma'oros, so the Aleph, Vav, and Resh are removed from the word Ma'oros, leaving you with the word Moves, death. Okay, when Adam and Chava ate from the Eitz Hadas, they introduced Moves into the world, they introduced Misa into the world, and taken out of Ma'oros, leaving you with Moves, and the Vav and the Tof and the Mem being removed from Vatikach Mipirio, and the Vav, Tof, and Mem giving you the total of the word Moves. That's a piece of Zohar. Please don't ask me to explain it. I've got a kasha on that piece of Zohar, on that word Ma'oros, because in the Torah, in Bereishis, the word Ma'oros, although the word Ma'oros appears a few times, it's got the word Ma'oros, and it's got the word Lima'oros, and a few other times, but it's never spelt Mem Aleph Vav Resh Vav Sof. It's never spelt in full, with two Vavs. And therefore, I don't quite understand how you can remove the word Aleph Vav Resh from the word Ma'oros, leaving you with Mem Vav Sof, meaning death. So, alright, a small kasha. That's my own little kasha. Don't worry about the kasha. Small kasha. At any rate, Adam and Chava introduced Misa into the world by eating from the Eitz Hadas. Now, the Zohar goes on to say that another facet of Adam and Chava introducing Misa to the world was the fact, and again this is very strange, that Adam didn't wait until Friday night, that first Friday night of creation, the evening after they were created, to have Biah with Chava. And Adam and Chava had Biah still before Shabbos came in, on that Friday. And of course, Cain and Heva were born from that. Okay? Of course, they were born miraculously, of course. I think they were still born before Shabbos, it seems, yeah? Okay, so Adam should have waited for that miracle relationship, and he didn't wait. Says the Sefer.
After the atom of
the Hadas, after or before? Oh gosh, I don't know. Like, pass on that. I mean, this is such difficult in Yonim to understand. I mean, I don't know. At any rate, he also brings from somewhere, and I don't know where he's quoting this from, that David was a Gilgal of Adam, a reincarnation of Adam, and David's wife, Bathsheba, Sheva was a Gilgal of Chava. Well, we know the connection between Adam and David anyway, because Adam gave away 70 years of his life for David, right? But he says that Adam was a Gilgal of David, and Bathsheba was a Gilgal of Chava. And David could have corrected the Avera of Adam. The Avera of Adam was having Biyah with Chava a little bit too early. He should have waited till Shabbos came in, till nightfall. But he didn't. He had
it during the daytime.
The Nachash saw him. The Nachash,
maybe,
yeah. The envy of the Nachash.
Hence it brings on the.
Interesting. I never thought of that. Could be.
You see the consequence of that.
The consequence of that. Yeah. But the point being.
And with Bathsheba also. You're getting this not being able to overcome his feelings.
That's exactly what he said. Adam should have waited until the Friday night and didn't. And he seems to say that was another reason why Misa came to the world, which is a very big chiddush, because normally we understand that Misa came to the world because of eating from the Eitz Hadas. But he learns that's another reason why Misa came to the world. David, a Gilgal of Adam, Bathsheba, a Gilgal of Chava, David had a chance to correct that Avera of Adam. When he took Bathsheba, he should have waited until Bathsheba's husband Uriah had died, Uriah Hachiti. Now we know that Uriah wrote a get for the wife, his wife, before he went out to battle. We understand that, and so it turned out that she was already divorced from Uriah. But David should have waited for Uriah to die, and then he could have taken Bathsheba. Says the Gemara in Sanhedrin. It's in Sanhedrin Daf Kuf Zayin Amud Aleph, where the Gemara says, Tana Devei Rabbi Yishmael. A brisa learned from the Beis Medrash of Rabbi Yishmael. Ru'uya hoista le David Bathsheba Bas Eliom. Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliom, was suitable for David. It was fine for him to marry her. Elobat she'acholo pago. It's a euphemism. Literally it means he ate her when she was an unripe fig. He should have waited for her to ripen. In other words, he should have waited for Uriah to die and then marry Bathsheba. But he didn't. He took Bathsheba while Uriah was still alive. Absolutely, indeed. We asked a test, but we learned that. Yeah, it's true. And David failed this test. He should have waited for Uriah to die. So he says as follows, that with David being a Gilgal of Adam and Bathsheba being a Gilgal of Chava, Adam and David both did the same fault. Adam should have waited for Friday night, David should have waited for Uriah to die. And therefore, David almost ratified the Misa that Adam brought to the world. He seems to say, if I understand him correctly, he seems to be saying that David maybe could have turned the tide of history if only he would have waited for Uriah to die. Maybe with that he would have been masakein the Avera done by Adam, and maybe death would no longer exist in the world. But because he didn't wait, and as the Gemara's expression, achola pago, he took her while she was still an unripe fig, and that he should have waited until Uriah had died. He failed to correct the mistake that Adam had made. Says the Sefer Eretz Chaim. Therefore, David confirmed the fact that Misa should continue to exist in the world. As Adam started it, and Adam confirmed it. Therefore, Afathuni Chevle Maves. I'm surrounded by pains of death. Of all the people in the world, David is the one who ratified Misa by failing to wait for Uriah to die.
Now, how we get the Shiach will be the revival of the dead, because it's correcting the Avera of Adam. who brought death into the world, and here we're bringing death into the world.
We reverse all of that. Beautiful. Yeah. Good. Schreck.